Wow, so much confirmation this morning. It's like one of those mornings where everything just confirms the word and just so speaks to us. So I want to agree just with that verse that that chorus, we sang it twice, that what do we have? We don't have anything fit to bring to God, but hallelujah, our worship. And when I was standing here now, I just was reminded of in this week, I spoke to a security guard. I had to go and remove cupboards, building cupboards again, beginning early in the year. And as a security guard, he was, keeping the house safe where these cupboards were. I was just asking him, will it be fine to leave the stuff here? And he said, yeah, no. And he showed me his Bible. He said, Jesus is here in the house. And I just saw, and I was just reminded now, this man, his name is Lucky, but I said he's more blessed than lucky, but he just had this joy. And, we can be how rich or how poor. If you have Jesus and if you can worship Him, then you have everything. Then you have the fullness of joy. So, yeah, thank you. I'm Kubus. Pastor Kubus and Loretta are still camping or maybe on their way back. But, happy, blessed New Year to everyone. Welcome back. If you've been on holiday, I hope you had a good rest at least. And that it may be a good year. So I'm back. I've been back. Don't know what I did wrong, but I started on the 2nd of the year. I started my office job, and it's this time of the year we need to get ready. We need to kind of get out of the laziness and actually get ourselves and. And it's kind of an anxious moment when you realize you need to get organized, you need to get things in place. What are we planning for the year? What am I going to do? I just want to speak over you guys this morning that we don't need to be anxious for nothing. The Bible says, do not be anxious for the day of tomorrow. So, yeah, bless you. I got this diary this week. My wife, Danelle, thank you. I got a new diary only just recently, so when I looked at it, I think on Friday, it was still blank pages. Empty, just lots of dates. And I was thinking, what am I going to write in this? How am I going to fill this up this year? And I'm sure a lot of us are feeling that way. And Sam, we can put up the sermon slide. Thank you very much. Because the title is A Clean Slate, and that's kind of how I felt when I looked at this diary that's a blank page. And the question is, so like this blank page or a white canvas, they say. We have a white canvas at the beginning of the year, right? And what are we going to put onto it? How are we going to fill it? Or how is God going to fill it? How are you going to let Him fill it for you at the beginning of this year? So that's what I want to speak about this morning and encourage you. Stephen earlier on when we said about Jesus, we read that piece, Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts, and made me think also from last week's sermon that Jesus knocks at the door and he's our friend. He wants to come in and he wants to fellowship, feast with us. And the question is, beginning of this year, when we look back or look forward, is are you planning to let your friend Jesus in on your plans for the year? Or are you are we going to not do that and keep the door closed and walk as the world, the same as the world? And obviously we don't want to do that. So yeah, that's what we want to speak about. Also, a clean slate is it speaks of being forgiven, being pure, being innocent. And so we start the year, and yeah, I just want to say that many of us, like Kubus would say, had a year last year. We had a year, and every one of us had a last year with experiences and things that may have left us a bit, you know, doubtful or a bit insecure in our faith or whatever it may be. But bringing good news this morning that we can start the year off accepted before our Father this morning as our King. So let's read the main verse for this day, for this sermon. It's out of 1 John 1 verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I think it's an appropriate place to start this year, to know that we're starting with our hearts right with God. And it's a good place to jump away from. And the reason for my theme, very old-fashioned kind of looking slides also, is I don't know about you, but I think many people, and if I read about commentary, find confession as kind of an old-fashioned thing. And I think many of us, even in charismatic circles, may find like almost unsure, how do we feel about confession? And is it even necessary? So, and with that, it's a painting. So we're going to paint a bit and we're going to just talk about what it all means. So on that next slide, it says the question, I saw this on the internet. It says, why do we need to confess our sins if we have already been forgiven? Now, of course, we know as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, that that our price, the price of our debt, has completely been paid for by Jesus at the cross. So from the day that you give your life to the Lord until the day you die, you are forgiven. All your sins have been washed clean by Jesus. But there's another thing. There is a reality that you can be a child of God, but you can still sin. And you can still have something that is obstructing that fellowship that we have with God. Stephen and the guys this morning spoke about so beautifully, just the presence, sitting at the table, fellowshipping and feasting with the Lord. And that's what we want. And two kind of concepts that I just want to leave with you on that question, it kind of answers it also, is they say they speak about a positional forgiveness and a relational forgiveness. So that this applies to Christians, that once we give our heart to the Lord, that we are coming into a position, Jesus puts us in this position before God, where God doesn't look at our sins anymore. He looks at Jesus. And he puts us in a position as like royalty, princes, princesses, accepted before God. And once a son, always a son. You're never going to not be a son in the house. But then there comes that thing of a child, a son who irritates his father, or that's maybe a bit bluntly put, but we definitely do that. Some daughters also sometimes But yeah, there's a thing that you can have a relationship, a loving relationship, and a perfectly good relationship, but you can do things that kind of hinders just your relationship, the flow and the sweetness of that relationship that you have. So we've got this position of forgiveness, but we also have ongoing relationship of forgiveness with the Lord. Okay, I just confess and I just agree, confirm that I need to be saved by Jesus still from my sins to walk in fellowship with the Lord every day. All right, so that is the foundation laid. That's the canvas that is now prepared for us that we're going to paint on. So let's just take this scripture, 1 John 1 verse 9, and put it into context by reading the rest of it. So I'm actually going to read now the whole of chapter 1. Yeah, John, it's our new year, we're going to be serious. Yeah, sure. And actually there's more, so I don't think you're going to get off lightly, but yeah, we'll get through it. Okay, so as we read, I read a little book, and it's one of these good old faithful preachers. And I told my wife, it's quite difficult to read because these guys, they call it, they exposit the word. They take every, you know, they break it up and they take every verse and they explain it. And so I'm going to kind of do that, but not as intensely. So please bear with me. So let's read. Okay, so that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and which was made manifest to us. This is the introduction to this book that the Apostle John is writing. And he's basically introducing the topic of the book, where he's saying that they were eyewitnesses, them as disciples. They saw Jesus, and they walked with him, they touched him. And the eternal life was made manifest. He speaks of the word that was made manifest. And the fact is, it shows that they came to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And that is what was made manifest to them, is actually a revelation that happened in their hearts. And that has to happen to each and every person who wants to become a believer. They need a revelation that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God who came to pay the price of forgiveness for everyone. Okay, so he's kicking it off in that way, to say, we've seen it, we know it, and now from that place we're writing to you. Then he goes on, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things to you that our joy may be complete. So this chapter 1 is actually the theme of this whole chapter is about fellowship. And so I'm just going to talk quite a bit about it. So if we're saying in the beginning that Jesus is knocking at our door, and are we going to let him in? That is talking about, are we going to choose to walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus this year? And fellowship the meaning of it is really being at one with, being completely in unity with God, the Father. The Greek word, or is it the Hebrew word, I think, koinonia, that says that it's the relationship that's only made possible, or it's the unity made possible through the Holy Spirit. So a believer can have koinonia, can have fellowship, because we have the Holy Spirit in us. It's referred to as communion between us and God. It's referred to as brothership or association or partnership that we can have. A fellowship is something very special. It's a privilege that every Christian has. To think about, just amazing that we can, you know, being born again, alive in the Spirit, awake, we can actually know the thoughts of God. We can understand, in a sense, that others can't. The things that God feels and thinks, and His will, His heart, the Father's heart, and that we can just appreciate and enjoy that. So, and then it says there at the end that, actually just before this, he's saying, so that you may have this fellowship. So he was saying that they already have fellowship with Jesus, with God, because they have come to faith, but they are writing this so that everyone can have that fellowship with God and with each other, with them as well. And then at the end saying, so that our joy can be complete. So fellowship is a place of joy. It's a wonderful place, and it's like a child coming to his father, to his dad, say in his study. I was spending a lot of time in my study yesterday, and if the child comes into your study and actually just wants to be there with you, it's different. That's fellowship. And thankful to say my girls do that. They want to be with me as well. And it's our relationship with the Father it takes on different forms. So prayer in a petitioning way, where we come with our requests, that is one thing, but to come and have fellowship with the Lord is to have to simply sit and enjoy His presence and just meditate and just pray and just to worship Him and just to think of His word and how wonderful He is. So it's really a joy that we may have. That's one of the greatest blessings. So let's read on, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Okay, so firstly, just remember this whole theme is about fellowship. And then it says God is light, which is now describing the nature of God. So God is, or John is in this book, choosing to describe fellowship and God in the context of darkness and light. And we see it as we read on. But what does it speak of? So God is light. We know that it speaks of holiness. And God is holy, and God is light. He's the source of light, and from Him goes out light, because He is the source of light that shines on everything and on everyone on earth. That holiness, or the light, also is a metaphor for purity and majesty, and it represents His presence, because where His light is, there He is. And we know that God is omniscient, the word that means that He knows all things, because where His light shines, where the light falls, things can't be hidden. And so God is, Psalm 139, He knows us, he searches us, and sees if there's anything wicked in us. And he comes and he wants to have fellowship with us. So he is light, and in him there's no darkness. And just saying that God has many different aspects to him. So God is also love. God is also just, but not one of his characteristics overshadows one of the others. He can be perfect love, but he can also be perfectly just and holy. So just speaking of God's nature there. Okay, so I'm taking it slowly to take you with me. And it's saying that we have fellowship. If we say we have fellowship while we walk in darkness, then we lie, because we can't have fellowship in darkness. So if there's something hidden, then it is not in the light. Okay, so it's possible for things to be hidden from the light. And then that is not... And we can do that. We can hide things from God, and we can be oblivious of things before God. But I want to just suggest a second meaning of this. And they say that when you read about the book of 1 John, the context of the book was written for actually exposing false teachings. So the whole book of 1 John is saying, there are people out there that say they are Christians. Remember, this is now Christianity was new, and they had weird and different ways of, and they were saying we are Christian, but we're not. And there's like through this book of John, he actually shows you tests of how to see if someone is actually a Christian. Now, if you can receive their teachings. But now, so if it says that if we walk in darkness, he was actually apparently referring to those false teachers who actually don't know the Lord. So they're walking in darkness. And so people who do not know God, they haven't received what John said there in the first few verses, that revelation that's been manifested, the born-again experience of knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord. They're still walking in the darkness. Then I've got a little picture for you just to, or it's actually for me, I need to draw it for myself. So I'm going to also explain it. There's a little stick man in the day, and there's also one in the night, if you can spot him. Yeah, and what it represents is a believer and a non-believer, okay? And the sun for me, that's not just my comparison. The sun is God, okay? So God is light, and the sun always shines. Even if it's day or night, it shines. But believers, we choose to love the light. We choose to walk and live in the light. The world, on the other hand, not literally, but they choose to live in darkness. No, they do not choose the light. They do not choose to walk in the light. They do not know the light. And it's as if an unbeliever is walking in darkness. John says, if you're walking in darkness, then... you cannot have fellowship, and the truth is not in you. You haven't got the revelation of Jesus. Okay, so I hope it helps. There's a scripture verse that just confirms this, Colossians 1:13-14, that says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, so the kingdom of light. That is us as a believer. Salvation of the believers is that position of forgiveness that we spoke of in the beginning. We've been forgiven, so we are constantly walking in the day, in the light with God. Okay? But now, just remember those little clouds. So as we go on, just remember that. Remember that picture. But we are positioned in forgiveness and in the light. Back to chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So if we walk in the light, not like those walking in darkness, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So he's kind of, it seems like, speaking in circles. That's why I need to break it up. Because he understood and I did not at first understand it the way. But what he's saying is here that I was walking in the light. Yeah. So, as we just said, that is us. And the fact is that you can be in the light, but there can be little clouds. There can be things still hidden. Even when you're walking out there in the daylight and you are, you want arm loud? Thanks, I prefer that. So when you walk outside and we're in the light, there's still shadows, and there are still things that can be hidden. You can hide from the sun, even out in the light. And that is just something to take note of. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Okay, so as he is in the light, because Jesus and the Son and the Father is the perfect revelation of fellowship, because they know each other completely. There's nothing hidden between them. And so as Jesus is in the light, he's walking in that perfect unity with the Father, and he honors and he loves God, the Father, and he obeys him. The Father honors his Son and says, "This is my beloved Son," and there's this perfect unity between them. And in that same way, we have fellowship with one another as believers. In the blood of Jesus, his Son cleanses us. So God looks at believers through the finished work of Jesus at the cross. But now it says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we have to be careful to become so almost grace conscious and comfortable that we think we do not have sin. Because even us, we can have that little cloud or something in our life. And it says that we deceive ourselves. So, you're actually in deception if you think you have no sin. Even a believer, there's always still some root of sin, and it might be minor, so it might not really interfere with your relationship with the Lord. Or it might be sometimes there are big things that the Lord reminds us years after we became saved, and more than once, often. Something big comes up that you just realize, wow, the Lord just shone his light on that thing in my heart, and I realize I need to still repent of that. I need to bring it in the light. I read this thing about how that even Job, Job was, he was going through, he was this seemingly very good man. He was successful, he was prosperous, and he was serving the Lord God, and of course he got tested, and then he questioned God, and he said, "But I've done all these good things. I've been good to the poor. I've done all of this. I think he said that I do not have sin, or I don't know about sin in my life. And then until the point where actually God actually showed him his own sin was that he was trusting in his own integrity. He was relying on himself, and that was his sin. So even Job had sin, and once he confessed it, God healed him and restored him completely. So do not say, we do not have sin, even as a believer. So verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, and this was the main verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. So do not let the devil make you think you can feel like, no, I can't go to God. I feel guilty. No, we are never not able to go to God. We are never in a place of guilt before God. Jesus took it away. The only thing is that our sin can, if we fall, it can just hinder our fellowship. That's all. And God wants us to be restored. He's a loving Father. So He is faithful and just to forgive us. How amazing our Father God is. That relational forgiveness, He wants to restore that, and He remains faithful. Even when we're not faithful, He keeps shining His light on us, and He loves us, and He shows us His love still after we confess, and while we confess. We just need to see it. And in verse 10 again, He says it, if we say we have not sinned, make Him a liar. And so we just need to be careful. Watch our hearts. Ask God to expose anything. And I just want to also just encourage you to now not be sort of anxious that we need to confess the whole time. That's not what I'm saying. We don't need to be. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. And we're not under condemnation as believers. We are. There's no condemnation in Christ, so we don't need to worry. But it's good to just check, especially if there's something big, and always better to sooner than rather later. Your quiet time, you can do it. But even just, if you at the end of the day realize, oh shucks, something I did today wasn't pleasing to God. Rather just get it out of the way. Just say, Lord, sorry, I did something wrong, and I didn't honor you. And that's it. And it's in the light. It can't hinder our fellowship, the light into our hearts anymore. To know Him, to be in unity with Him, to walk closely to Him. And so it's blessed. So that was the end of chapter 1, but there's still chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So it's kind of finishing after the thought. It says here, my little children, so I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay, so how blessed, how awesome is that? It's encouraging us, do not sin, but we will sin, but try not to sin. And if you do sin, then we have an advocate, Jesus. And He is the propitiation for our sins. It's like the fulfillment of God's wrath. He took our punishment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for also the sins of the whole world. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that we can just come before You at any time, Lord, and bring our sin and bring our mistakes to You, Lord. Jesus' objective is that we should have unbroken communion with the Father. That's the greatest blessing of a Christian life. It's that place of warmth and joy of being united in love with God. So there's a picture then, just speaking of this clean slate. You know, every day we have a clean slate. Every day we are, the light of God shines into our hearts, and it cleanses us. He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It cleanses us. And if there's something that we don't know about, then He will cleanse that too. And it said here that you will experience tremendous love when you allow the light of God to thoroughly search you. Psalm 139:23-24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." This is the blessed joy, the fellowship, the love that we experience in fellowship and coming. And I saw this week trying to practice it a bit. I just realized again, I need to set time apart for that quiet, because especially now, as soon as the year begins, you trying to do prayer and devotion between everything, and you get distracted. It doesn't work so well. But if we can, let's make a time where we have actual proper fellowship with the Lord and worship Him. So, do Christians still need to confess sin? Yes. Not because of guilt, because Jesus pleads our innocence constantly as the advocate, as the intercessor, but to enjoy undisturbed fellowship, allowing His light to shine into every corner of our heart, hiding nothing, to hear His voice clearly so we can walk with Him by faith and to do His will. Amen. So I just wanted to actually say that, and that, again, remember that position of forgiveness. The promises of God is always true to a believer. Doesn't matter if we falter or fail or sin or go through a trauma. At all times, His promises still stand. You're still a son. You're still a child of God. You are still saved. You are still have still eternal life. And His promises are still true. It's just we want to have that extra goodness of a walk in complete alignment with His will. And then I'm gonna end off this with this reading. It's in still in the second chapter of 1 John 2:15. Because see, we've got this road of this year 2025 lying now in front of us, and it's a long road. We can't see the end of it, but we now know we're starting from clean slate, and we know how we need to walk in fellowship with the Lord. But we also know there's some bullies and baddies along the road who wants to knock you over the head and kick you and get you off the path. So this is what this is talking about in the world. We in our real world. So it says that do not love the world or the things in the world. Now, warning, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Amen. And that's us ending on a high, but also knowing that there's real dangers out there. Just not danger, because we, like Stephen said, we're starting from that place. I can't remember, was it Golgotha, but the place of victory. We're starting from victory already, beginning of the year. We can't really fail ultimately, but we can fail in making this a good year with the Lord. Do not fall for it. It says the love of the Father, so the way that the Father loves us, our love should be for the Father, not for the world. He has a jealous love for us. Our allegiance is to the body of Christ. And when it speaks of the world, it speaks about anything that opposes God, the idea of God. Because the world is kind of a vague description, but John uses it as an attitude of hostility to God and his Son. So unbelief, basically, in the world, or the things of the world, or things that's not of any eternal value. So those are things that's not going to deserve our love and affection, but the Father, the love of the Father deserves all of our affection. And then that desire of the flesh, and the Father's object is the glory of the Son, but the world's object is the gratification of the selfish flesh. So that's what the world is about. The flesh wants to gratify itself, but God wants to glorify the Son. And true worshippers of God cannot have both. The Bible says we must worship Him in spirit and truth. We can't have worship, fellowship with God completely and love the world. You have to choose. And the devil, Satan, we know the Bible says, walks around. This is our enemy. He walks around as this roaring lion, and looking who he can devour. But then this chapter is saying, if he fails in his terror, because there's lots of terror out there in the world. That's from the devil. That's from hell. But if he does not succeed in this year with his terror, then the devil has other strategy. From being a lion, he has a strategy of being a seductive serpent. And these things of the world are the seductions that he throws before us. He will try and lure us into it. And we need to just be wake up and choose. So choose the love of the Father, fellowship with Him. Amen. Yeah, so it ends there with a high that's saying, whoever does the will of God abides forever. Doing the will of God is in walking in close fellowship with Him. Okay, and that's the key to victory over the evil one. Amen. So, there's a confirmation of this. Once again, lastly, it says, Ephesians 5 verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So I want to admonish you to walk as children of light. Admonish myself to walk as a child of the light. And then just as a summary, this oil painting that we've now painted in, it's kind of just a few thoughts that I threw onto the canvas here, but it says that let us seek to be counted friends of the Lord Jesus. Let us choose to open that door for Jesus into our hearts and avoid friendship with the world, which is enmity against God. So there's a few maybe resolutions that you can have as good quiet times, reading God's word, spending time in prayer and worship, really speaking of fellowship, gathering with the saints like we do, have fellowship with the saints, avoid the temptations, look out for them, and confess if you do fall, because we are friends with Jesus and not the seduction of the world. So I want to bless you and finish in the service, and but if you will and if you want, I thought to kind of do a declaration at the if we can maybe just stand and end in prayer, and and choose today. So like Joshua said there, we need to choose. So it says that choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And amen. So I'm going to allow you just in your own time to just pray and just bring your heart before the Lord, beginning of the year. And as you do that, I'm also going to just pray and maybe just trust the Lord.